In today's fast-paced world, your business deserves banking solutions that are as dynamic and cost-effective as you are. Solutions like free business checking from LGE Community Credit Union, free online and mobile banking, no minimum balance required, plus no maintenance fees and dividends on your balance. At LGE, we're a smarter way to bank. See what's possible for your business at lgeccu.org. No monthly maintenance fees. Other service fees such as NSF, overdraft, wire, and stop payment fees still apply. Not all businesses will qualify. Membership eligibility and base savings account that keeps a $5 minimum balance required.
Jackson at the belt, plants to second, 1-2. Hit deep to right field. Jack going back at the wall. This game is tied. It's a 5-5 game. And Cody Bellinger just tied it up.
Sad part is I do the same thing again. I was trying to throw a fastball up and away. I actually threw it better than I thought I threw it. Out of my hand, I was like, ah, it's a ball. It was too high. And no, it wasn't too high. It was, you know, it's a good player. Put a good swing on it and pretty remarkable.
And the Braves go down in game three. Fortunately, we're looking at a 7-game series. Hey, everybody, it's the Buck Belue Show, punching the clock on this Wednesday here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. We're streaming at 680thefan.com. Get that Fan mobile app, and you can listen on your smart speaker, brought to you by South Point Financial. By the way, if you go to our website, you can click and actually watch the show, and you might see, if you click and do that, you can see my Braves hard hat that I'm wearing at work today, doing the show. Nernie, it's a sign. Time to go to work. Time to go to work, brother. Let's get to the big take.
Bucks, big take.
Our Braves were just 5 outs from throwing dirt on the Dodgers. Get those 5 outs and the Dodgers would be all but dead. But then Bellinger goes boom, as you just heard. Now the Dodgers have the mo and the pitching advantage in tonight's game four. So be it. Bring it on. Did you not expect a fight? Did you believe the defending world champs were just going to lay down, roll over, and not fight back? Did you think this was going to be easy? Put on your big boy pants and fight back tonight in game four. Braves country is counting on that. Urias is beatable. Our team has already knocked him down once back in game number two. And if the Dodgers win game four, beat them in game five, and come back home with 2 shots to close these L.A. dudes out and advance to the World Series.
All right, go Braves.
And there's your big take. I mean, seriously, did folks think it was going to be easy? I didn't believe it was ever going to be easy. And so you let the lead get away in this one. All right, so what do you do? Do you lay down and feel sorry for yourself? I mean, goodness gracious.
Buck, I'm not going to lie to you. At one point last night, I thought it was going to be easy. I thought we were going to sweep these guys. That's how lifeless the Dodgers. I mean, hell, poor Brian Anderson and Ron Darling on the television broadcast. They were so depressed and so lethargic because the poor Dodgers weren't doing anything. Well, Cody Bellinger sure put a little pep in their step.
Speaking of Ron Darling, Francoeur can barely get a word in. I mean, this guy Darling thinks he knows the Braves better than Jeff Francoeur does. Ron Darling, please. I had to turn the volume down, hearing too much of Ron Darling, as if he knows the Braves better than Frenchie. Give me a break. So, yeah, that one last night was tough to take. Let it get away. We're going to break it down coming up a little later in the show. Right now, though, we've got a college football nugget right out of the gate.
Tasty. Time for the College Football Nugget, presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
All right, Kirby, I was looking last night after 7 o'clock, and I did not see Kirby on Twitter tweeting out, go Dawgs. So I knew then that 5-star wide receiver Luther Burden out of East St. Louis had decided he was going somewhere else other than Georgia. And I took time to look it up, and I saw where Luther Burden is. He's staying home. So he narrowed it down to three. He had Alabama, he had Georgia, and he had Missouri. He decided he was going to stay home. Said it was a family decision to stay and play at Missouri. Man, I was holding out hope he was going to come make the jump, come to Athens, and be a part of this wide receiver corps. I mean, I even did a scouting report on Luther Burden anticipating the announcement would be, I'm going to Georgia, and then Kirby would tweet out, go Dogs. This guy's 6 foot, 200, victimizing high school cornerbacks, watching the highlight reel. One of the best I've seen, high pointing the ball downfield. He's elusive, he's explosive, a ton of yards after the catch. Looked tough and fearless. Man, Georgia could have used a wide receiver like this. And that would have made the wide receiver coach, Cortez Hankton, feeling a little bit better, but he's got to be a little down today with this announcement. Kelee Ringo, Georgia Bulldogs defensive back, saw where he was tweeting out after the announcement. I thought this was really funny. Ringo tweeting out, Bulldogs will drop two spots in the AP, and Kirby's on the hot seat because Burden elected to announce he's going to Missouri. That's pretty good stuff by Ringo.
Look, darling, Johnny Ringo.
Going to drop in the AP poll, and now Kirby's on the hot seat. That's funny stuff. Ringo went on to say, too, he totally respects the decision by Luther Burden to stay home and play for the hometown college. You know what? I'm just thinking, too, another factor in this could be Burden looked at the top receivers for Georgia and saw they're all hurt and thought, man, if I go to Georgia, I'm going to be just another wide receiver that gets hurt and misses most of the season. I mean, you couldn't blame him if he was thinking that, right? If you're a Georgia man, that's what receivers do when they come to Georgia. Right now, they get hurt. Looking at the 2022 24/7 football team rankings, you got Alabama 1, Penn State 2, Georgia sitting there at 3 with 19 commits. Let's see how many wide receivers they've got in that group. Oh, you got Morissette from North Cobb. He's highly thought of. Big-bodied receiver. I happen to like him very much. Got Dylan Bell from, get this, the Kincaid School. Nerney, I didn't know there was such a thing, a Kincaid School. I mean, surely they're not teaching wide receivers how to play at the Kincaid School.
Be wary of that guy.
That's in Houston, Texas, by the way. So John can't have anything to do with that. All right, they've also got Cole Spear from Calhoun as a receiver. So they've got three in this group, this recruiting class, are going to be signing here coming up in a little over a month. Would have been nice to have Luther Burden, who is one of the top 10 rated players in the entire country out of any of the positions. But Georgia missed out, and I knew what the deal was when Kirby wasn't tweeting out Go Dogs last night. Nern, you couldn't blame a guy for thinking, man, if I go to Georgia as a receiver, dude, I'm going down hurt. They all get hurt over in Athens.
That's true. I mean, how much is the quarterback situation? Does that weigh in at all? JT going to be back next year? A little uncertainty down at Athens? I don't know.
I don't know. You know, sometimes that hometown lure can really get to the kid. Look, his family wants to see him play. Maybe his family's in a situation where they can't be traveling to Athens six times a year or five times a year to see him play. Maybe that's what the family decision's all about. Stay at Missouri, play at home. Family can be a part of it for three, 4 years. And there's your college football nugget. Yeah, well, the Braves, man, I just want to see them fight the fight, man. I mean, look, this thing coming in, you were playing the defending champs. I mean, you had to, yeah, you certainly, any reasonable person or fan would think, okay, this is going to be some give and take here. You know, we're going to win, they're going to win, we're going to fight back, they're going to fight back. It's part of the elite competition. You know, it's not like you're going to go in here and blow somebody's doors off for four games and advance to the World Series. So I'm saying bring on the fight, man. I'm ready for the fight. It's just a shame I'm not on that roster. Come on, Braves. We're counting on you, man. I hope they get up all fired up about going out and winning game four. All right, coming up next on the show, we're going to bounce through the NFL with Chris Mortensen. We'll chop it up with the Braves, look back at that disappointing loss last night. Got my NFL top five ready to roll, too. Coming up a little later in the show, Bulldog Roundtable, one of the great number eights in Bulldog history, will join us, and we'll talk about that Georgia wide receiver core. Terrence Edwards, 10:35 today on the Bulldog Roundtable. It's the Buck Belue Show. Me and Nernie have got it here on the Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Oh, yeah, no, they'll be fine. I mean, they'll come out and they'll be ready to play.
In today's fast-paced world, your business deserves banking solutions that are as dynamic and cost-effective as you are. Solutions like free business checking from LGE Community Credit Union, free online and mobile banking, no minimum balance required, plus no maintenance fees and dividends on your balance. At LGE, we're a smarter way to bank. See what's possible for your business at lgeccu.org. No monthly maintenance fees. Other service fees such as NSF, overdraft, wire, and stop payment fees still apply. Not all businesses will qualify. Membership eligibility and base savings account that keeps $5 minimum balance required.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
They're going to prepare as always, and you know, we've lost tough games before and bounced back and done really good things. So this is just... it's just one of them games that, you know, it's like it's 20, got to get 27 outs, man. And you know, you got to make pitches and plays and the whole thing. It just didn't happen today.
It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan. Me and Nernie getting the job done, I believe. Got Terrence Edwards coming up at 35 after the hour. Talk a little bit about the Georgia Bulldogs and that wide receiver core. One of Georgia's all-time greats. And also chop it up as far as the Braves go. I've got the Braves hard hat on at work today. And that's how I'm hoping the mentality the Atlanta Braves will have coming into game four tonight. Get out and get ready to fight. Get ready to go to work. Fight back on these guys. You let one get away last night, so be it. It happens. Come out and get them today. And that leads us right into my man, Mort.
For the latest on the NFL, we turn to the Fan's truest NFL reporter, Chris Mortensen. Presented by the Atlanta Painting Company, Atlanta's premier residential and commercial painting company. Call 1-800-PAINTING or visit AtlantaPaintingCompany.com.
Every Wednesday on the Belue Show is Chris Mortensen, NFL insider. Love having Mort on. He joins us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. And Mort, tough one for the Braves last night. Did you see this one?
Yeah, I did see that one. And it was Cody Bellinger, and I'm still wondering why that pitch was up there around his, where it was. And yet at the same time, I always remember in, all my life, you know, baseball is unique. There's no clock.
Yeah.
There's no time. It's 27 outs. At least 27 outs. And actually, we saw that manifest itself in both games, both with the Dodgers and Braves and then with the Astros and Red Sox. So,
no doubt about it.
Listen, it'll rip your heart out, but you got to bounce back.
Yeah, man, I came into this one knowing it wouldn't be easy. So I'm hoping we'll see our team, the Braves, fight back in game four coming up later tonight. So the Falcons, Mort, they had a bye week last week. And as I understand it, Arthur Smith, they didn't lose. Arthur Smith and the Falcons, they spent the time off self-scouting. And, Mort, I could have helped them with all that time and effort they put in there because, look, they came out of it, and I'm sure they realized, number one, they've got to target Kyle Pitts more. I could have told them that going in. And, two, they got to improve that pass rush. It's one of the worst in the league.
Well, there's nobody who can argue with you on those points. And if you actually had free time, then I'm going to criticize you for not driving over there and telling Arthur certainly knows who you are. So, I mean, you know, yes, but you're right. I mean, and the Kyle Pitts thing is something we were all scratching our head about. And did it take the absence of Calvin Ridley to make him more prominent? I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. But, you know, what we do know is that, or certainly have, is now Calvin Ridley coming back, we believe, right?
Yeah, we're counting on that.
Combined with what we learned with Pitts, the pass rush is going to be, I think, a work in progress. And but you know, now they go down to Miami and play a team that's, you know, these are the type of teams you probably don't like to play, you know, because they're wounded, their season is a disappointment, and yet they've lost a lot of close games, and sometimes those close games go the other way.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, what should we expect out of the Dolphins on Sunday?
One thing to just make a point on is Tua is playing really well. And he played really well before he was injured with a broken ribs. And he had a really good training camp preseason. So Tua is the least of their problems. You know, they've had their defensive problems. You know, they didn't have their top two corners, Byron Jones and Xavier Howard. I mean, those are two of the top 12 corners in the league. They didn't have those guys. I don't think they'll have them this week unless they've announced something else. It'll be a close call. But I think they feel like an organization and a coaching staff that has some dysfunction. And for a team that had high expectations, they won 10 games last year. You know, just, you know, was week 16, week 17, whatever you want to call it, you know, away from being a playoff team. And then to have this, staring at this, very disappointed team. But I would certainly not go down there expecting this is going to be a W for the Falcons without a fight.
More, I was reading something off ESPN.com. They had rated the rosters in the NFL, and they had the Falcons as one of the thinnest rosters in the NFL. Should we expect Fontenot to maybe do a deal at the trade deadline that's rapidly coming up?
I don't think he'd do deals at deadlines unless it has a long-term vision in it. In other words, if you're doing a deal at the deadline because you're giving away type of draft capital or players that you think are going to help you build this thing, and, you know, we don't have to call it rebuilding. We could, whatever you want to live it. When you got a quarterback that's making as much money as Matt Ryan is, I mean, it's not, you know, you don't think of it as a rebuild, but you can't make some trade that isn't going to benefit you in the next 4 or 5 years as well. So I doubt it, but now maybe there's a younger player that makes sense for them.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe along the lines of a Hayden Hurst, somebody might jump on
that. He's the one name but you need the other team to want him.
Yeah.
In other words, if you trade Hayden Hurst, then what are you going to get back in return? You know, and I realize they have a blocking tight end and they have Kyle Pitts. I still look at Pitts as a different player. You know, he feels like a wide. He's a true hybrid. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, I look at him as a big receiver.
Yeah, that's kind of what I look at him as. And so, yeah, I mean, Hurst is the name that you know, obviously has been out there. And you mentioned ESPN.com. I know they put that name out there. But then it's got to be somebody who's got to be saying, okay, we've got to have a tight end. We had a good grade on Hurst coming out, and we have some film on him now. He fits us. I wouldn't expect anything spectacular, though. That sounds like a sixth-round type of pick.
Hey, we'll take all the help we can get, I believe. So we got Broncos and Browns tomorrow night, Thursday night football. What do you hear about Baker Mayfield and that left shoulder?
Well, listen, when you watched the game the other day, you know he goes into it with a partially torn labrum on his non-throwing shoulder, left shoulder. Now, that's bothersome. That can be bothersome to a quarterback, even though it's a non-throwing shoulder. But then when he got landed that one time and you saw the way he landed, you said, man, that baby tore completely. As it turns out, it did tear completely. And the shoulder popped out on one other occasion during the game. That's not good. You know, the MRI is being looked at by other doctors to see what they may think. He seems determined to play. You know, Brett Favre, I love Brett. Brett puts it pretty plainly, you know, it's an injectable injury. In the era where we're trying to play down the concept of painkillers, Brett's kind of telling the truth. I mean, Baker has the will to play, and the doctors say we can harness this thing in on game day. You take some pain medication, whether it's injections or whatever, I think it is, then you can try it. But if you think there's going to be long-term damage, and Baker, you know, everybody's talking, you know, I don't think Baker's really thinking about his next contract. I think he's being sincere when he says it's about this year and winning. Hard to win when both your starting tackles are out and Nick Chubb isn't there, and now Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt won't be there for this Broncos game, which is tomorrow night, as you know.
More, what kind of fallout are we seeing with the Gruden getting shown the door with the Las Vegas Raiders? Who do you think would be a good fit for them down the road when they hire?
The one, Mike Mayock, the GM there, who really has the respect of the owner, Mark Davis. I don't think it's a given that they're going to go out and hire somebody else other than Rich Bisaccia, who's an interim coach, yes, but highly favored by Mayock, who has called him one of the best leaders of men he's ever been around. And I think, listen, it was funny. I talked to John Harbaugh. I was texting with John Harbaugh on Saturday night. And John, as you know, was a former special teams coach with the Eagles, who has turned out to be a wildly successful head coach with the Ravens. And he said he knows Rich, and he gave a lot of different reasons why this can work. And he actually, his last words were, "Wouldn't surprise me if Rich got the Raiders on a roll." Well, if that means they get on a roll, they actually win some games, I think he would be, I think he's got a heck of a chance to keep the job.
What's Mayock's rep as a general manager? Is it a good one?
His rep as a personnel guy,
right,
and his ability, his work ethic and evaluate is pretty good among his peers.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Now, of course, he didn't have the final say when Gruden was there. He does have the final say now. So, but in terms of evaluations, now I could sit back and disagree with some of the players. Or what, it wasn't who the players they took. It was like where they took them. Like Cleveland Farrell, the year they took him fourth in the draft. You know?
Right.
But as an evaluator, I think he's got the respect of people, his work ethic especially. So we'll see. I don't know that Mark Davis. Let's see how the team plays.
Yeah, and we're still holding out hope here in Atlanta that Fontenot's going to be a really good general manager as far as recognizing talent, building this team in the draft. And Mort, I was doing some of that mock draft surfing earlier today, and I saw where the Falcons in one mock took Jordan Davis, the big Georgia nose tackle, with pick number 12 in the first round of the upcoming draft. And I was thinking, wow, that would be a change to have a Falcons general manager selecting, taking a Georgia Bulldog player, for crying out loud.
Well, isn't he just a two-down player, though?
Well, I see him rushing the passer. I think Kirby's just in love with those sub packages come third and long. They get all those guys off the field.
I'm getting what you're saying, but I also know that people get a little bit, scared of guys who traditionally in the NFL, because there's a lot of sub packages in the NFL,
right,
it's two-down players, but the whole idea is to force the team into third and long, and a player like that would be the start of that. And let's face it, you're building the foundation, and I think good teams do build the team up the middle.
Right. And I'm just tired of getting beat on the line of scrimmage. We've had offensive line issues for years. Defensive line, I believe, looking around the league, I don't see a weaker defensive line other than Grady Jarrett. Yeah. We don't have another player on the defensive line we can count on.
And how much more effective would Grady Jarrett be with a guy like Jordan Davis next to him?
Yeah, he wouldn't have to take on those triple teams.
There you go.
Mort, thanks so much. Great insight. Love having you on every Wednesday here on The Fan.
All right, Braves. Let's go.
Let's go, Braves. We need you. Mort's pulling for you. Thanks, Mort. Great having Chris Mortensen every Wednesday here on the show. What do you say we chop it up?
Time to talk Braves. Let's chop it up. Presented by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. HaugLawGroup.com.
Well, it's been a drama-filled first three games in the NLCS. Three one-run games, all won by the home team. Not Brandon Leake, but just the team playing at home. And so we go to game four tonight. 8:08 start. Braves. Important to remember now, the Braves still lead the series 2-1. I know there's a lot of negativity floating around this morning. Dodgers, as I heard at the coffee shop, they've got the momentum coming into today. And it's not just based on last night's comeback win, but also this idea that momentum in baseball is the next day's starter. Well, let's see. The Braves, we're going with the opener. We're going with the bullpen plan. Dodgers going with Urias, a 20-game winner this season for the L.A. Dodgers. But you know what? There is a glimmer of hope on this one. Urias, right? I mean, didn't we beat him in game two? That's right. He came in, he had the lead, and we jumped on him. He went one run, gave up three hits, two runs, Albies with an RBI single. Riley with an RBI double. Urias gave it up already to the Braves. So consider that. And consider this, too. Look, this is 2021. This isn't, you know, back in the 90s here where you've trotted out four starters come postseason time. This is 2021. Everybody's doing it. The bullpen game thing. So, Enoa, man up. Smiley, keep the ball out of the middle of the plate. Webb, how about using the slide step when you get a runner on first base, please? Chris Martin, we're expecting something out of you tonight. All right, let's hear from the Braves. Snit, by the way, is still confident.
We feel good. We're confident. We're, you know, I think our guys, like I said earlier in the day, our guys are every year getting more and more battle tested. And you know, we played a really good game out there today. Like I said, a lot of really good things happened, and we didn't get one pitch back. But I think the guys have a lot of confidence in themselves, and you know, they'll get a good night's sleep, have a nice dinner, and be ready to go tomorrow. And I don't, there won't be no residual effects, I don't, after this game here, like there never has been with this group, I don't feel.
Yeah, and Brian Snitker, look, he's an old school guy, but he's embraced the analytics, so he knows all about how to manage a bullpen game.
You know, we'll look at the game today and the guys we used and pair that up with guys we haven't used. So, you know, we have good options. We have some really, you know, good options to start the game for a couple innings or something. But and then a lot of guys that are good to go, that are ready to pitch tomorrow. So, yeah, you know, we're just going to figure out how we're going to line it up.
Need somebody to go a couple, two, three innings, right? Is that Enoa, who I know has not pitched as well as he did earlier in the year before the knucklehead break my hand incident? But why is Enoa on the roster if you're not going to use him? Doesn't make any sense to me. You should have Richard Rodriguez on there if you weren't going to use Enoa. I'd say give him a shot. Maybe he can give you two or three innings tonight and help you bridge this thing over. But just hoping Braves come out with a little bit of fight tonight. That's what I want to see. And that's going to do it for the chopping it up. Yeah, that's Nerney. That's what I want to see, man. I don't want to see our team lay down and just take it. Look, it was frustrating. I'm sure the Braves were a little angry as they left Dodger Stadium last night, and I hope they show up today ready to go out and throw some punches in this one.
Listen, every run counts in the postseason. You know, a lot of the talk, who do you want to blame for last night? Well, how about blaming Rosario the first inning, getting doubled off on a fly ball to center field? I mean, the base running blunders for this team in crunch time. I mean, you cannot have, you know, you cannot leave runners on base. You had first and third, no outs to start that game off yesterday, and you didn't get anybody in because of bad base running. It's got to stop at some point.
All right, we're going to talk with Terrence Edwards in just a moment. First, though, Buck Belusio, NFL Top 5.
The best in college football and the NFL.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time for Buck Belusio's Top 5.
All right, I considered a handful of teams for the Top 5 this week. And no, the Falcons weren't one of them. I looked at the Chargers, the Rams, and the Ravens. They didn't make the cut. Checking in at number 5, moving down a spot, the Green Bay Packers. A-Rod, man, he owns the Bears, doesn't he? 22-5 against those dudes. Packers checking in at 5. Number 4, jumping in for the first time this season. How about them Cowboys? Dallas checking in at 4. What a wild ending against the Patriots last week. Cowboys checking in at number 4. Number 3, staying at number 3, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Toyed with the Eagles last weekend. Buccaneers at 3. Moving down a spot this week. From number 1, falling to number 2, the Buffalo Bills. That Titans loss had to sting. You got this huge quarterback. I mean, dude, Allen's like, what, 6'6", 250 pounds? And you can't score on a 4th-and-1 quarterback sneak from the 1-yard line. And don't the Bills know that you get like the fullback and the running back and the tight end to come up and push the quarterback over the goal line? Everybody knows that. Bills fall to 2. Moving up from 2-1, the Phoenix Cardinals. Knocked out the Browns in Cleveland. Kyler and that Cardinals defense looking pretty impressive. I've got the Cardinals moving up to 1. Packers 5, Cowboys 4, Bucks 3, Bills 2, Phoenix Cardinals 1.
Bucks top 5 on 680 The Fan, Atlanta's sports station.
Yeah, man, the power rankings. We're just calling it the top 5. Seems to be a lot of power rankings out there. So we'll just stick with that. It would be nice one day to have our Atlanta Falcons in my top 5. That would be really cool, man. But we're a team in transition, trying to rebuild with the thinnest roster in the National Football League. So Mr. Fontenot's got a lot of work to get done up there at Flowery Branch. All right, we're coming up on the Bulldog Roundtable. So we'll talk about the Bulldogs wide receiver group, which has really been depleted. Gosh, you know, I had this earlier this week about the top 3 receivers for the Dogs have had like 4 catches for 20 yards over the last 3 games. And we're talking about guys like Kyaris Jackson, all right, Jermaine Burton, Arian Smith. Where are these dudes? They've been dinged up. Let's get to the Dog Roundtable.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs. And it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Ballou.
25-20, far sideline, 15-10-5. Get in there! Touchdown!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. Georgia Pack and Load. Move the smart way. Move the pack and load way. Online at gapackandload.com. And by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
And that's going to be the ball game.
Georgia will win this ball game.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Let's bring on number 8, Terrence Edwards, Georgia Bulldog legend, all-time leading Georgia receiver, CEO of the Terrence Edwards Wide Receiver Academy. I believe also calling plays for Pace Academy. Terrence, great to have you on, brother.
Hey, thank you, Buck. And you know what? You're the original number 8, so I can't take that title.
Man, I tell you what, if I had a vote, I'd make you a Georgia legend immediately.
Hey, I'm still waiting on that.
Aren't we all? So, this Bulldog, everybody's talking about the quarterback situation, Terrence. We got the mailman, Stetson Bennett, has stepped in and done a really good job. And everybody wondering when JT Daniels is coming back. You know, for me, I believe both those quarterbacks are capable of playing well. But the receiving core, I'm concerned about. Here we are halfway through the year. And again, this season, we've been ravaged by injuries at that wide receiver spot. Is it asking too much for the second half of the season for guys like Burton, Smith, Jackson, just to name 3 of them, to be able to come back and lead this team to the finish line here at the second half of the season?
I think so. You know, with Kyaris, I read it last week that he said he's pretty much close to 100%. So I think this break has done a lot of them well. I know Jermaine Burton, I talked to him myself. He had just a little nagging groin injury that's been hampering him for the last 2 weeks. So this week, I assume that he has 2 weeks before the Florida game, and I assume he will be pretty close to healthy once the Florida game comes around. I don't know the particulars with Arian Smith, but hopefully, like I said, these 2 weeks, he'll be able to get back out there and contribute. And we add those 3 with the other 2 guys that we have right now, and I can see this receiving core just being able to help this team win and not just rely on your tight ends and your running backs.
Yeah, Ad Mitchell, starting at the G-Day game where he really stood out, man, he looks even more polished now. I'm totally impressed with Ad Mitchell.
Oh, yes. I watched his film, and I did something, wrote an article on him, and I just really loved his tape coming out. And a lot of people didn't know anything about the kid, and I applaud Coach Monk and Coach Hankton and Coach Kirby are finding this guy, 6'4", real twitchy. And I went down to practice, Buck, and I saw him personally. I was like, and I tweeted it before the G-Day game, like, we have one. And everything that I said, and it's coming true, he's proven it on Saturday that he's a really, really legitimate wide receiver.
And this lad McConkey, I've been wondering when we would find a slot receiver working that slot that would be really effective, running that underneath drag route, making people miss, maybe get deep occasionally. This lad McConkey's come out of nowhere. Boy, he's impressive.
Oh, yes, he is. I had an opportunity to work with lad as well. He was an athlete in high school, played some receiver, played some running back, played a lot of quarterback as a senior. And he just came to me and just wanted to get polished up on playing the position and understand the position more. And now we see all the things that I've talked about, all the things that I saw in him once I first came to work with him. I knew he was going to be that this type of receiver. And I've been just trying to tell people he's a three-star, maybe a two-star, didn't have a lot of offers coming out. But one thing about that you can't rate is his heart and desire.
I look at Kyle Pitts here with the Falcons as a big receiver, just based on what we saw at Florida the last couple of years. And now I'm looking at Brock Bowers the same way. I don't really categorize him as a tight end. He looks like a big receiver to me.
Yes, I think that's the kind of the wave that the tight end position is going right now. I mean, you just look at the NFL. You don't have the big 6'5", 250, 260 tight ends anymore. I think a lot of teams are going to two tight end systems that you have a blocking tight end and you have a receiver tight end. At Oscar Delp, the kid that we just got committed, is the same type of tight end. It's just they are big receivers just in tight end bodies.
Yeah, I've been able to see him play over the last couple of years. Totally impressed with the kid from West Forsyth and think he's going to step right in and do some of the things like Bowers will. Terrence, I keep getting everywhere I go, people are wondering about George Pickens, encouraged that they see that his rehab coming off the knee injury is coming along nice. He's getting some reps, I believe, out there during the week. And everybody wants to know whether he's going to try to come back here at the end of the season. Look, I know me and you, we don't know. But if you were George Pickens, would you be trying to get back and play by the end of the year, or would you be thinking about getting into the NFL draft?
That's tough, man. That's tough, but we both know. We all grew up with a main goal. I want to make it to the NFL. But I just think this Georgia team is trying to do something special, and for seven games so far, they have been special. And I think George sees it, and I think if, you know, you get an opportunity just to go help, even if it's presence, I think he would try. I would try. But I also know that I would consult with the people that love me, people that without football is going to be on my side, and just get their opinion, talk to Coach Ron Corson, talk to Coach Smart. I just really, really talk to people. But my heart, and I know your heart, but would try. Will it be a smart thing to do for his longevity and things he has for his own goal and his own family? That's up for debate, but just his heart, and I know your heart being from Valdosta, my heart being from Washington County, we're football players, and we want to play as much as possible.
Boy, I know you're proud of your brother Robert, right, doing a great job at Riverwood High School. I believe we feature them this Friday night on the 680 The Fan High School Game of the Week.
Yes, you do. I'm super proud of Robert, man. He's in 6A football, and a lot of people with this day and age with all the transfers and all the players trying to play together, having five stars, four stars. Rob has 38 players in 6A with no big-time players. His quarterback is committed to Toledo. He has another athlete, running back DB, that just got a small divisional offer. But he's out there coaching his tail off, and him and his staff is doing a marvelous job. With 38 players in 6A, they're ranked in the top 10, and they're 7-1, playing a great Cambridge team that all – my good friend Reggie Brown is the receiver coach there. So we got dog-on-dog competition this weekend, but he's doing an outstanding job at Riverwood.
Terrence, I can't have you on without asking you about your quarterbacks at Georgia. I believe Quincy Carter, David Green, DJ Shockley all threw the ball to you. Give us a little nugget on each one of those guys.
Man, my first touchdown was my very first catch my first year with Quincy. And he checked off to a fade, and he threw it perfect, my first score. The calm one is David Green. He just – you can never see David emotion. He's just even killed. And then I just think the talented one that had the strongest arm, that probably was the fastest, that probably just the most – just the best athlete of the group was DJ. And I love all three of those guys dearly. And I still talk to all three of those guys to this. And don't forget about Corey. Corey's another guy that came in and threw some passes against Kentucky when Quincy got hurt. So I played with four great quarterbacks that I'm all still close friends with till today.
Terrence, I got so much respect for you and what you did at Georgia and such a big fan of what you're doing now, continuing to pass along knowledge that you learned along the way, man. Thanks so much for making time for us today.
Thanks, Buck.
Terrence Edwards, man, one of the best. Wore that number 8 out there and did it justice, too. Just so proud of Terrence and what he's been getting done. We'll come back. We've got a final word and also got some Falcons talk coming up. It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Yeah, I mean, it hurts. Yeah, I mean, we lost the game because I made a couple bad pitches that, you know.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Some days are outs and some days they're home runs. And to feel like this is like a dagger, no, this is just, I know, it's speed bump in the road and I wish it didn't happen. And I wish we were up 3-0 going into, you know, game four and having a chance to sweep, but I have no doubt at all, and just our team coming back and just stronger tomorrow and ready to rock and roll.
Luke Jackson. Man, he's trying to be mentally tough. Tough. Maybe he gets another shot here tonight. He has been one of our better relievers this season. All right, my Falcons, I've got a multiple choice question for you fans out there of the Atlanta Falcons. Okay, who should the Falcons start at right tackle with Caleb McGarry out? A, activate Josh Andrews, plug him in at left guard, move the rookie Mayfield to right tackle. B, insert Jason Spriggs as the right tackle. C, put Colby Gossett, former Browns offensive guard, at right tackle. Nope. Or D, bench Matt Ryan, go to the Wildcat formation, and snap it straight to Patterson. For me, it's either Spriggs, he's the only natural tackle, or maybe go to that Wildcat formation. Those are my two choices. All right, the final word. Our Atlanta Braves are going with a bullpen game tonight in Game 4. It's 2021, man. This is how teams roll these days. The opener goes an inning, maybe two. Then the bullpen door swings open six or seven more times. Look, this isn't 92, and Bobby Cox could hand the ball to Steve Avery in Game 4 and get six quality innings. Embrace the suck. That's the mentality these days. Score some runs. And then add on with more runs, play some D, and fight the fight. And then hold out hope that Webb, Martin, Chavez, Enoa, Smiley, and yes, even Luke Jackson can get the job done. You got to believe, fans. This is no time to lay down and give in. I'm just saying. It's going to do it for the Buck Belue Show. Nerney, great job. We appreciate you. We're back tomorrow at 10. Nick and Chris coming up next. Have a great day, everybody.
Great to see you, Buck.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.